great to be here this morning. I was just thinking as we were worshiping, because Paul and I get to travel quite a bit, and it's actually great to worship in a room where you can see people. It's fantastic. So many churches we go to, everybody's in the dark. Now, I know the tech people tell us it's for all of those reasons, and sometimes they say it's because, you know, to preserve people's privacy. But today we are celebrating the fact that our faith is not private. It is personal, but it's not private. So we get to, you know, worship together. Like, as I looked around this morning, I just realized how, whenever I see other people worshiping, how much it inspired me. I mean, I looked at you this morning and the young guy behind me, and we talked about, you know, worshiping across the generations. And I'm talking about you. And when I looked at you both and you were giving it everything, something inside of me was inspired to worship more. And that's why I love the fact that we can see each other. I can see Pearl. I can see Edna at the back. I can see people also who are older, and I know a little bit of their stories. And they're standing and they're worshiping God despite everything that they have experienced in life. And it is inspirational. So I know we're talking about the church this morning, and we're talking about how the church is people and not a building, but I am so grateful for this building because I can see you, and that inspires me. And that brings us on to the fact that that is our subject today. We're going to be talking about the church. We're in 1 Peter. Amanda started the series so wonderfully well last week, and actually how she kicked off is where I also want to pick up, because she talked about our identity last week, that we are His. And because we're in chapter 2 this week, that is underlined yet again. So I am going to look at the fact that we have not just a personal identity because of our relationship with Jesus, but we have a corporate identity. And I know when it comes to using that word corporate today, I think there's a genuine or a general suspicion around the word corporate. You know, we have our suspicions these days about the big, you know, the banking, the government, the media, everything, anything that has a word corporate attached to it, we tend to be slightly suspicious of. But I think we will miss something in our faith if we do not remember and realize that there is more to it than just simply our individual walk with Jesus, but it is about us together, which is why, James, you really set us up so beautifully for what we're talking about today and leading us in communion. And you also talked to us about the fact that, yes, we are personally remembering what Jesus did for me, but we are remembering that we are also the body of Christ, and we did it together. So that was a great example of what we're talking about today. And of course, our individual identity is important. And Amanda talked a lot about that last week, that we are loved, that we're children of God, that we're adopted, that we're friends of God. And understanding our identity in Christ actually helps us deal with so many of the problems that we wrestle with, you know, problems of rejection, problems of a sense of worthlessness, problems of comparison even. So many of those things, when you discover your eternal identity in Christ, it deals with so many of those issues. Because if you don't realize who you are in Christ, you're forever trying to reinvent yourself, either into the image of what other people expect, or even on expectations that you put on yourself, instead of being free to being who God created you to be. And so individual identity is important, but I think it is also so important that we understand the nature of our corporate identity in Christ. And the New Testament, and the passage actually that we're about to read, is all about that corporate identity as followers of Jesus Christ in 1 Peter 2. It's actually an amazing celebration of it. And I don't think we do in the church put as much emphasis on this as we do on the individual. And I think that's partly because of our culture, because we teach our children, we teach our teenagers the value of the individual, that it's okay to be different, that we celebrate that. And we don't want them to be pressurized by their peers. We want them to be able to know their individual value. And yet at the same time, there is peer pressure. I mean, a wee while ago, my younger granddaughters all appeared, it's a while ago, all appeared with these great big satin bows at the back of their heads. And it was because that's what everybody was wearing. Now, I can't point the finger because their granny's sort of prone to the same sort of pressures. But we are pressurized by the community around us, the culture around us, and yet we also are trying to say to our kids, it's okay to be an individual. And so I think when we're trying to teach them that, I think it is inherent in each of us to want to belong, to have that sense of we need connection. We see it in our culture. And I think also it's because we're image bearers. It's actually part of who we've been created to be, because God lives in perfect harmony and perfect community together. He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit living in perfect community, and we are made in His image. So there is something in us where there is a need for connection, where there is a need for us to realize that I am more than just me on my own trying to make it alone. And obviously that need gets distorted, just like everything else in our fallen world gets distorted. But this passage in Peter celebrates our corporate identity as the Church of Jesus Christ. And so we're going to read just a few verses in chapter 2, and it's from verse 4. And it says this: as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. You know, as we come to verse 9, why do we not, in the spirit of what we're talking about today, read this together? Why don't we follow another church tradition where sometimes when the Word of God is read, folks stand as God's Word is read? Why don't we, and as Cafe Church, if you're able to join us, why, if you're able, stand and we will read this passage together from verse 9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Amen. And that is God's word to us. Peter is celebrating our corporate. It's magnificent, isn't it? It's absolutely magnificent. We're a chosen people. We're a royal priesthood. We're a holy nation. We are God's special possession. And why? What's our purpose? To declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. You know, there's so much in the New Testament that applies to us together and not just me as an individual. So when you read you in the New Testament, very, very often it's the plural. Actually, we're really fortunate in Northern Ireland because we've got a word for it. Some languages don't, but we do. It's usins. So when we read it in the New Testament, instead of just reading you, just put in usins, and you'll get a flavor of what we're talking about. The Sermon on the Mount is a classic example where we read it as individual instructions for me as a person. This is how to live. Whereas Jesus was coming to declare, the kingdom of God is here. I'm the king. The kingdom of God is here. I'm here to establish a new community who are going to live out of a different set of values to the culture around them. And so the whole impact of the Sermon on the Mount was for a sense of a corporate identity for this new community, cohesive community that was going to be established on principles of love, humility, mercy and justice and peace. And this is what Peter's communicating as well. And I suppose we have to say, well, why is it important? Why is it important that we celebrate and understand our corporate identity? Well, the first thing is that it underlines the fact the church is one body. Again, James led us in communion to celebrate the fact that we are one body. We're born again into God's family. We're part of a body. Paul talks about that as well and how that each part gets to play its part. If you are a Christian, if you're a believer, you're part of the church of Christ. And it's no accident you have been brought into the body because you have a part to play, and there's no exceptions to that. We all get to play our part, and we are dependent on one another. Hence, when I see you worshiping, your worship makes an impact on me. We're dependent on one another. No one lives out their faith in isolation. That was never how it was meant to be. It was never meant to be just me and Jesus. Actually, it's a lot of years ago now, but when Paul stepped down from being pastor here in CFC and I came off our eldership team and someone else was coming in to lead the church, there were quite a few people from other, you know, church denominations who said to us, so what church are you going to go to now? We said, CFC. And they said, oh, in our tradition, if you've led something, you have to leave and go somewhere else. I said, well, that would be like telling me I can never see my family again. That's ridiculous. And I think it just reflected to me the fact that this is a family. This is a body. And it's not just about me. In fact, the only time that I cried during that time was we had decided that, you know, because it was a change of leadership, that we would stay away for 3 months, and we traveled quite a bit. And there was one Sunday that we were up in Edgecombe, which is just up the road. And because we'd made, you know, the promise that we'd stay away for 3 months, we didn't come. And that's the only time I ever cried. I said, my family's in town and I'm not allowed to go and see them. But, you know, it underlined to me the fact that it's not about just me and Jesus. We are a body. We are a family. We are dependent on one another. And unity reflects God's design for the church. It's we together in Christ. Unity is so important. And it's not just that we preserve our unity here in the body, which we ought to do, but that we celebrate. And I think in CFC that has been part of our DNA, that we celebrate the unity of all believers in Christ, that we don't care what your political aspirations are. We don't care where you were born or what your race is. We don't care what your economic status is. We are all one in Christ Jesus. We are reflecting what Paul says, that in Christ there's neither Jew nor Gentile. There's neither male nor female. There's neither slave or free. That we are all one in Christ. And so we celebrate that, not just within this body, but we celebrate that in this city. We celebrate the churches who are around us. We celebrate Helen up there in St. Mark's, who is serving the Lord and preaching the gospel and ministering to those who are in need. We celebrate the other churches in this area and in this city. We celebrate the fact that now when we look around CFC, we don't just see white faces. And there was a time when we only did see white faces. And we are so grateful that God has brought you to us to remind us that we're part of a worldwide body that is much more than just simply the people who sit in this room. We are one body. Our corporate identity is important. And it's important because of we have a shared mission and purpose. Across the world, across the globe, we, for all our flaws, represent Jesus to the world. By serving others and by living out the message of Jesus Christ. And without that shared mission, I think the mission itself would become fragmented and inconsistent. Maybe like never before, we need to remember that we are part of a worldwide church and we have a common mission and a common purpose. Guys, this morning, we are one with believers behind closed doors can barely even let their whisper of prayer and praise be heard. This morning, we are one with our Ukrainian brothers and sisters who are trying to live out our shared purpose and mission in a war-torn situation. We are one with believers in northern Nigeria who every day wake up with the threat of violence. We are one with believers with our brothers and sisters in Lebanon who are living with trauma every single day. Guys, with what we're living with currently, with the blessing that we are currently experiencing, we need to remember that we are one with them. We are joined to them. And actually, I was just thinking this morning that at the times in our history when things sometimes were at their worst and the devil overstepped the mark, the eyes of the worldwide church were on Northern Ireland and they prayed for us. And we saw answers to those prayers. Now, guys, can we take up that responsibility for our brothers and sisters in other parts of the world and say, the enemy's overstepping himself in your community. He's overstepping himself in Iran, where the church is growing. It's the fastest growing church in the world at the minute. And with what's happening there with the war, they are actually being put under more pressure than ever before. And yet Jesus is showing up. And our prayers make a difference. And you know something? I actually think our worship makes a difference. I really do think that when we stand to praise and worship the Lord, we join our voices with those whispers. We make those whispers a shout that declares how great is our God in the world that we're living in, that everything is under his feet. And we play our part in demonstrating that we have a shared purpose and a shared mission. And of course, it's about belonging and support because we provide emotional and spiritual support for one another. This is a place where we should be accountable to one another and where we receive encouragement from one another. You know, sometimes people say things like, the church isn't loving. As if, you know, the church is something out here that has nothing to do with what's going on in here. And if you ever say that to me, the response you'll get is, well, what are you doing about it? Because it's not some sort of impersonal entity. We are the church. And so therefore, those principles and values that we hold, we are responsible for living them out. And that sense of belonging reinforces our faith and helps us to stay committed. You know, when we sang today, He'll Never Fail. All around this room, there are people who are going through things. And you sang, He'll never fail. And you're singing it to the Lord and you're singing it to yourself, but you're singing it to one another. He won't fail you. He won't fail you. That's my testimony. Leah sang it out. This is my story. This is my story. He will not fail you. So when we worship, it's not just a, that's why there's something so, and we'll come on to that, so amazing about corporate worship. Yes, we should worship the Lord individually, on our own. That builds us up and it keeps our eyes focused on Jesus. But there is something unique about corporate worship, where God comes and inhabits the praises of his people. And so we have a sense of belonging and support. It's about public witness, our corporate identity, where as a group, we represent our beliefs collectively to a wider world. And the way the community behaves is a reflection of Christianity. And that's also challenging, isn't it? Because sometimes we find people who say they love Jesus and they'll take a stand about things which frankly does feel as if it does not reflect the values of the kingdom that we're part of. And we get lumped in and are guilty by association. And so sometimes we do have to raise our voice. Not because we want to be those who are pointing the finger and being negative, but sometimes we have to raise our voice and ask the question, does that truly reflect God's kingdom? Is that how we really want to present God to the world that we're part of? And Jesus prayed for our unity and that the world would know that we were his disciples because of how we love one another. And then it is about continuity and tradition. And I never thought I would use the word tradition in a CFC context, but it's important. Our corporate identity connects us to believers across space, which we've talked about, the worldwide church, but also across time. We're part of a worldwide church and part of God's ever-unfolding story. It preserves faith over generations and over cultures. You know, in the early days, we were always described as a new church. That's how we were described. And I think sometimes it made us lose sight of the value of our heritage, that we were part of a much bigger story and that we weren't the ones that were inventing the wheel. The wheel had already been invented. But I think sometimes too, because we were called the new church, it caused others to question our validity. I remember going to something, actually, it was a woman's event and there was a panel and we were being asked questions. I was just thinking, it was so funny, Richard, you talked about the men's weekend and you said it's at the end of May. And I thought, that's typical, isn't it? The men only need a month to know that they're having a weekend away. If it was the women, we would need 6 months. You'd have to be announcing it before Christmas so that we could get ourselves organized to go. Anyway, that's beside the point. So we're on this panel, and it was the early days of CFC, and a lady said to me, can you have communion in your church? We have had communion this morning. And I said, yeah. And she said, but how can you have communion? You don't have any priests. And I said, oh, we do. We do have priests. She said, I heard you didn't have priests. I said, at that time, I said, we have about 200 priests. Because we are all, and that's what this passage tells us, we are a holy priesthood. And so we are part of something so much bigger than just even, we are a large church, but we are part of so much bigger than simply what God is doing here amongst us. We're a chosen people, a chosen people. And that word relates to offspring and family. We're a chosen generation. We're his treasured possession. Together, we are his treasured possession. He delights in us. And if there's times when you get a bit disillusioned with the church, let the Holy Spirit remind you. You see these people? They're my chosen people. They're my treasured possession. Of course we're going to annoy each other. We're family. We're going to get on each other's nerves. We're going to step on each other's toes. We're going to offend each other. But we're family. We're God's chosen people. We're God's treasured possession. And so if you ever get a bit disillusioned, don't walk away. Sort it out. And rejoice in the fact that this is who we are. And if we are a chosen people for this generation, we have to ask ourselves the question, what is our role? At this time, in history, in this city, on this island, for this moment, we're a royal priesthood. And to me, that speaks of the fact that, you know, the priests in the Old Testament brought sacrifices to the temple. What do we bring? We bring ourselves. We are, it says in Romans, living sacrifices. And you've heard it said many times, the problem with the living sacrifice is it can get off the altar. So we have to present ourselves on a daily basis. We bring ourselves, our whole selves, and we say, I'm yours, Lord. But again, Peter here is pointing to the key functions as the church, and he's saying that we are to declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his glorious light. That's why our corporate worship is so vitally important. And it's not just about our corporate worship. We are called to declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his glorious light. So that's why tonight we're telling stories about what God does in our lives. We're sharing our story. And that also is declaring his praises. And when we worship, that's why people like Grace and Peter and some of you younger ones are looking and going, why are those pair getting up and waving the flag at the front? Because sometimes we don't have the words to express how amazing he is, how great he is, how wonderful he is. We just don't have enough words. And so therefore, I remember when we started to wave those flags, at first people were offended. And somebody said to me, I'm really offended that you're waving that flag. And I said to them, listen, the Holy Spirit has invaded my life. I don't just want to fly this flag. I want to fly with this flag. Because it's like sometimes we just don't have the words to express how amazing he is and what the work he has done amongst us. And so we worship together, and it is power and impact. And priests represent people to God and God to people. And so I don't have time to unpack it, but that's why we pray. We pray for one another. We pray for all of those situations I've been talking about. Do you know something? People say, Christians say, I'm not going to watch the news. It's so depressing. It is depressing. Watch the news. Use the news to fuel your prayer life. As you watch the news, say, Lord, which nation do you want me, even just 5 minutes a day, who do you want me to pray for today? Which of my brothers and sisters in other parts of the world do you want me to focus on today so that I can be a priest on their behalf and pray for them? We are a priesthood. We're a holy nation. And we're meant to reflect to this world how great our God is. We've sung about it today, that he's merciful, that he's loving, that he's gracious, that he's hope-giving, he's chain-breaking, he's peacemaking, he's joy-giving. We don't serve a gray God. We're supposed to reflect the fullness of who he is, the vibrancy of who he is, the life he brings. He is a life-giving, life-fulfilling Savior, and that's who we're supposed to represent to the world. I just want to finish with this. I've been reading Zechariah at the minute, and there's a little verse there that says, there will come a day when people will come and take hold of God's people and say, let me go with you because we have heard that God is with you. And as I read that last week and I was preparing this, I really felt that the Holy Spirit stirred my heart and said, that's exactly what I want to do in CFC. That is exactly what I want to do in this people at this time. I want them to so represent me to this community, to this city, to this nation. I want my presence to be so real when they come together to worship me and to pray and to cry out to me. I want the stories of what I'm doing in this place to go out from here so that we will experience this promise where people will come and say, can I go with you? Can I go with you? Because I've heard God's with you. I've heard God's amongst you. Can I come? And I really believe that that is God's heart for us as CFC, as we celebrate the church today. Not just this church, but the fact that across time and cultures, across this world today, from the rising of the sun until the going down at the same, the Lord's name will be praised. And you and I get the privilege of being part of that. And so as we finish and the band comes to join me, we're going to finish by praying a prayer over the church together. And then we're going to do what it says here. We're going to declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. So will you stand with me? And this prayer is going to come up on the screen, and we're going to pray it together, and then we're going to go in and celebrate the great God we serve. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your church, a community called together to worship you. We praise you for your goodness and faithfulness, for the generations of faith that have guided us, and for the strength you continue to provide. We thank you for this local body, for your church worldwide, united in love and truth. Thank you for the spiritual nourishment we receive here, the fellowship that strengthens us, and the opportunities to serve our community. We ask for your Spirit to fill us anew, giving us the power to proclaim your gospel and the grace to persevere in all trials. May we be a light to the world, faithful in service and joyful in worship. Let's worship him.